Hi, this is Poe Johnson once again with Within the Margins, and I'm talking today to Dr. Stephanie Vasco, a senior research assistant at the Rock Ethics Institute at Penn State. You prefer Stephanie, correct?
Stephanie's fine by me.
All right. So can you just briefly describe your research and how you got into it, your background perhaps, too?
Yeah, so I received my PhD in chemistry and nanotechnology in 2012 from the University of Washington. Today is my third year anniversary of my defense, actually.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My thesis focused on semiconductor nanostructure fabrication using an atomic force microscope. So, like you said, currently I'm a senior research assistant at the Rock Ethics Institute at Penn State, and there I work on a National Science Foundation Ethics Education in Science and Engineering grant, where I build interactive online modules that teach about ethical issues and scientific topics related to sustainability. So that being said, before I say anything else, I do want to stress the things I say today are my views and opinions and don't reflect or represent the views, policies, or opinions of Penn State, the Rock Ethics Institute, or the National Science Foundation.
Yeah, we got the legal stuff out of the way.
Yes.
Speak a little freely.
Yeah. So I'm really interested in crafting and making and the intersection of these with STEM, specifically in education and research. This interest really comes from my own identity as someone who's a STEM educator, a PhD scientist, and someone who's been interested in both crafting and STEM for their entire lives.
All right. So you mentioned crafting and making there. So can you describe these differences? Like, are they the same thing? Or are they different? Like, maybe describe briefly the cultures that they come from.
Yeah, so I'm really at the beginning of this project, and I'm interested in these distinctions between crafting and making. So the first stage has been looking at the literature, learning the histories of each movement, figuring out how people shape identities about these, and how you gain and demonstrate expertise in each movement. So I'm also interested, clearly, in gender, how gender affects all these pieces, and the fact that craft has a complicated history with art. Some makers incorporate crafting into the definition of making, some don't. And there are complicated issues of credentialing and what counts, and I'm doing counts and finger quotes here, when it comes to labeling yourself as a crafter or a maker. So I'm also really curious about the values that are present internally in these communities.
Okay, so maybe briefly in some ways describes the sort of the history of these kinds of ideas. Like, where does the concept of crafting come from? Where does the concept of making come from? Are they interrelated? Are they not? Are they rather distinct? And they have sort of these moments of intersection, and then they sort of go to their off to their parallel sort of scopes and perspectives.
Yeah, so this is what I'm trying to figure out right now. So I know that they both have very long histories, and crafting, one could say, has a longer history than making. Making finds its roots for some people in the DIY movement in the 70s, but very clearly with things like Make Magazine, Maker Faires, 3D printers in the early 2000s. And we know that crafting in many different forms, so I'm specifically interested in fiber arts and textile arts, has a much longer history than that.
Mm-hmm.
But there, if we look at recent times and we look at the history of both communities kind of in the present moment, what you'll see are there's very interesting overlaps in things like communities of practices. So crafters and makers are both super present in online communities, making videos, sharing patterns, sharing projects, and then ways of learning have also kind of come online for both of these communities. So I'm interested in that history, how they intersect, and kind of what that intersection means for both those worlds.
So are these cultures then sort of, I suppose, what is their relationship to one another? Maybe in a better way of putting that is, like, I think oftentimes, perhaps from the outside, as someone who's not a maker or a crafter necessarily, that there is this conflation of these terms,
right,
at least from what I've heard and what I've seen in my own research. So what are the sort of distinctions in terms of perhaps practices, organizational structures, if there even are any, since I know some groups like this have some and some groups don't, maybe sort of the other sort of cultural influences that get embedded within them as well.
Yeah, so it's interesting because if we can think about things like sewing circles and meetup groups,
mm-hmm,
and knitting groups and places like makerspaces. So groups where members of the community and any member is welcome get to come in and practice the craft or the making activity that they're interested in. One of the things that I'm very curious about and like have a deep desire to pursue is this division people make between high-tech activities and low-tech activities, and whether or not low-tech activities are things like sewing and crochet, and high-tech activities are things like robots and 3D printing and circuits.
Mm.
So I'm referring to an article by Patricia Bruder. I'm referring to the things like the high-tech, low-tech lab at MIT and the language that gets used in maker movements about including lower-tech activities. And on face value, it might make sense to make this distinction, but as we move forward with technology, it's created advancements that also go into this low-tech, into these low-tech activities that people might not necessarily see. So communities of practice, online communities of practice, materials that get used. And so I have this worry that when we divide things into low-tech and high-tech and call those crafting and making or put other kinds of forms of judgments on them, that we're coding in things like being cheap or lower class or feminine into that. And there's been a lot of work on women in maker spaces, specifically making and education, and then even more specific in e-textiles. So I want to talk about, I guess, the work of Leah Beakley, Kylie Pepler, and Yasmin Kafai, and apologies if I botched any of your names, who have done work on e-textiles in the classroom and how you design spaces for women to learn about, and by women I mean young women, to learn about electronics and circuits and how e-textiles can be used for that, but also the gendering of these activities. And Beakley and some graduate students and blog posts on the internet have also drawn attention to the fact that makerspaces have issues with inclusivity and diversity, and that's a place where I'm very curious about expanding on the values of these communities to understand how those values and values like diversity and inclusivity can come together, especially when we move things like crafting into STEAM, STEM plus the arts, in the classroom and the maker movement into the classroom.
So it's interesting that you mentioned that last part, because in some instances when you say, like, okay, crafting is related to sewing circles and then making is related to, like, 3D printing and, you know, whatever these sort of other things that come out of 3D printing, there is a sort of gendered notion, perhaps typically we understand these ways, but you're also saying that this isn't really the case, right? At least that's my understanding.
And there are some makers who will tell you that all things that we do are making. So I'm thinking of the book Makers, and in this book, the author says that everyone's a maker, whether or not you're a knitter, or a sewer, or a gardener, or you like to cook, like that's a making activity. But I'm interested in where those activities are not making activities. Okay. So what makes an activity a maker activity? And what makes an activity a craft? And when are you doing both? And when are you just in one sphere or the other?
So that's a good question. So is there like an activist perspective? So I think one way of thinking this, if we're thinking like the distinction between crafting and making, and that they have these sort of typically gendered understandings that want to be, that you want to sort of unbreak or sort of, you know, unpack, that there's also necessarily this activist perspective that comes out of that, that there's this potential to say, okay, when are we doing crafting and when are we doing making? And then when can we intertwine them? And what does that mean for perhaps for younger women in STEM or STEAM to find perhaps more of a voice and more of a presence that has been traditionally been denied to them?
Right. Yeah, so that's a big thing for me. Thinking about the activism part, there have been calls for including more social justice in the maker movement. Some people bring in the idea of hacktivism into the maker movement, and there is a very big craftivism movement that's out there too. Things like yarn bombing are pretty big examples of that. So I am interested in trying to figure out where, how we bring in the activism. Does the activism look the same for both? How do we address issues of social justice? But there's also a bigger issue there too, and it's when we bring them into the classroom, are we using making and crafting only in service of STEM? And that's a big piece of activism for me. Is so it means if we're doing something like e-textiles, that we teach both about the circuits and the electrical engineering and about the embroidery, and focus really on both and not use the embroidery to lure students in to STEM, but rather to show how STEM and the arts or STEM and crafting or STEM and making really come together and let students develop multifaceted identities instead of saying you need to be in this pipeline. Say you can be in this pipeline and you can bring all the other skills and interests you have with you, or you can be in this pipeline and bring all of the other skills and interests you have with you. We're not trying to force you into an identity.
All right, and I think that's actually a great place to stop. I want to thank you again, Stephanie, for joining us today, and this is Poe Johnson signing off. Have a great day.